This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 577. Jason can just edit that out where he talked over me. It's fine. We don't have Brian Kilby tonight. He's off on an adventure or something. We don't really care. We can get on fine without him, as we've proved for the last 5 minutes. So I'm XV taking over the hosting duties, and with me I have Jason Kirk as our producer this week.
Hello, everybody.
John DeLuna off screen, as ever.
Yo.
Playing Street Fighter, I'm sure.
Yes.
Short and to the point. You gotta love that about John. We also have Rob Clay.
Hi.
How's it going, Rob?
Not too bad. A little tired, otherwise good.
Cool. We have Matt, a.k.a. Melvar.
Hi.
Who I haven't seen, like, forever at this point, basically. Like, it's been almost 48 hours since I've seen him. And, of course, we have Diecast with a pile of Taobao in waiting, I'm sure.
One big Taobao item.
Just the one?
Just the one from Taobao. That shipped by itself because it was so big.
Okay. So before we jump into the show, Brian would like me to remind you that we now have t-shirts available in various lovely designs by our own John DeLuna. You can find the t-shirt store at tfradio.net/shirts. John, would you like to tell us a little bit about our t-shirt offerings that we have?
Sure, yes. Like XV said, you can get a link on our webpage, tfradio.net, or you can go to shirtsickle.com/tfradio, or you can just go to shirtsickle.com because our shirts are on the homepage because they sell so well. So thank you, guys.
Nice.
Shirtsickle.com, you'll find a selection of different giant robot-inspired designs for us, by us. For you, too, you'll support the show by purchasing a sweet looking t-shirt, and sizes go from small to at least 4X, so they're very accommodating, and they're made by the folks at Pro Wrestling Tees, and I say that because they make bajillions of t-shirts every year for pro wrestlers and other ventures, so they know what they're doing. It's a direct print application, so it's a very nicely done shirt. It lives up to the picture that you see on the website. So go to shirtsickle.com or tfradio.net, check out the t-shirt store. Pick out something you like. We know you'll like it, and thanks for the support.
John, very important. On our next bat, when do we get to add more shirts to the site? Is it soon?
I think we're one shirt away, which I know our listeners and viewers can help us out with, but we're like one shirt away before we get to go to round two of designs.
Ooh.
So the round one's great. So there's some, you know, so if you're a fan of the show, you can get a logo shirt with the show's logo. There's some other, like I said, some other cool robot collectory kind of shirts that that people have picked up and like. But yeah, we're only one, two shirts away from unlocking wave two, and we'll do another wave of designs and we'll add them to the store. So I've got some cool designs in the bullpen. And I know the guys on the crew have ideas, too, that we got to get to. But, yeah, so everybody supported the shirt shop so far really well. And we're really close to unlocking Wave 2. And we will hit that goal. And when we do, there'll be even more good shirts to choose from.
Can we get get Unicron made shirt?
No.
Or just, a little pound sign, get Unicron made, like, on one of the designs.
So what we need is a cartoon representation of Diecast's face with the caption, pound signs or hashtags.
Yes.
I want to do a weird mashup of Diecast's face and Unicron's planet mode. So it's just like a free-floating Diecast head with the weird, like, rings, Unicron rings, maybe the mandibles. This is the stuff of nightmares. I'm not going to sleep now that I'm picturing, like, some weird love child of a diecast face grafted onto Unicron's planet mode. That's horrific, actually. Oh, so never mind.
Dear Lord.
I might give diecast exactly what he asked for, just so I can flush that image from my mind. But yeah, in summation, shirtsickle.com. Just go to shirtsickle.com. Like I said, you'll see us on the homepage because you guys have supported us and liked the shirts so much. So thanks.
And I'd just like to say that as of right now, we can add a new shirt.
Awesome.
Oh, yay.
Nice.
So I'll get on that. Anyway, this has become a very self-serving ad, but I'll get on it with Shirtsickle and see how many designs we can throw up there in addition. But anyway, I promise that you will like them. They're well-done shirts. They look as good as they do on the website. Like I said, you support the show, you get a cool shirt. It's a win-win. So shirtsickle.com. Go now.
And I'm going to go ahead and just veto the whole idea of Diecast Ego the Living Planet shirt. So you might also notice that Headmaster Don is not with us, and he wasn't here last week. So, of course, we have not had an episode of It's a Don Deal. But Don should be back to transform our podcast into an adventure next week. And so It's a Don Deal should be making a comeback. So make sure to start holding your questions, you know, build up a repository for us, because we will be looking to your submissions and to build out the next episode of It's a Don Deal very soon. So the show has not gone away, and it should be coming back in the very near future. So this is kind of breaking format, but I want to jump straight to this week in history because it's kind of an important moment for us in a couple ways. So almost this very day, June 26, 2009, Radio Free Cybertron returns to a regular schedule after more than half a decade of regular updates. Just in time to review Revenge of the Fallen, I might add.
The best movie ever.
Oh, no. But the reason that this is especially important, besides the fact that it's, you know, why you're all sitting here listening to me ramble on like this, this is also usually the episode every year where we take a moment to remember our late dear friend J.D. Church. And it's important to also just remember that without J.D. Church, RFC might not be here today, because it was his incessant nagging of Brian over Google Chat, however long ago, the summer of 2009, that ultimately resulted in, hey, let's bring RFC back, and eventually led to the assortment of characters you see before you now. So, I mean, without JD, none of this may have happened. None of our other podcasts have developed out of this. A lot of the friends that we have made, as we formed this group, there's so much that I think we owe to JD Church for inspiring this to come all together. And while we don't maybe have anything super new to say in memory of JD, like, his impact is so important to all of our lives at this point, and that's something we're never going to forget. It's been over 4 years now since we lost JD, and that just kind of blows my mind. Like, I didn't know him for a super long time, but he made such an impact every time I talked to him, especially after I stole him away from RFC to come work on Superhero Time with the rest of us, and also killed his comic book podcast for him. Those are my favorite JD memories. But yeah, I mean, what JD did for us is, there's no way to put a value on that. It changed all of our lives, honestly.
And I came on to RFC after JD was gone, unfortunately. Like, just the show in general, just watching it. And I can, his presence is still felt on the show. I can tell from, just even from being involved with you guys and stuff. So man, he cast a long shadow, that's for sure. So,
yeah, and deep. Okay, so let's jump right into this. So, did anybody get anything? And I think me and Matt should go first, because, boy, do we want to tell you about the Jocon dealer room haul we had. Matt, do you want to start?
You're the host, you go ahead.
Okay, let me grab my first Jocon thing here. Yeah, about that. So me and Matt did go to the final JoeCon this past weekend, and we walked around the dealer room for about 3 hours. Very, very packed dealer room, you know, healthy walk-in crowd that day. We had the interesting observation that, like, the majority of cosplayers we saw in the walk-in admission line. But yeah, as we walked around, even Matt, who actually like cares about vintage G.I. Joe stuff to a far, far greater degree than I do, just couldn't find anything to buy.
No, it was.
No, that's not the. Go ahead.
It was pretty sad, really. I mean, I do have an appreciation for G.I. Joe. That and Transformers were the two big things, you know, in my childhood growing up. There's a couple things that I went maybe looking for, but I really couldn't find anything I was looking for. A lot of the booths were, you know, the same stuff here and there, like it just repeat stuff. It was all mostly older stuff too. Like not even a lot of the, I couldn't find much of the, FunPub subscription stuff, but I don't know, but it was really weird and kind of telling, you know, about the way this convention's run, that we were in the general admission line. We did not register. We went, and there were people in serious cosplay, and I mean like really well done stuff, and there were a lot of them, and they were in the general admission line. They would not register for this convention.
That's not to say that we didn't buy a lot of stuff during the trip.
Oh yeah.
So I want to kick off with what will end up having been my final ever purchase from a Toys R Us, which is this Megablocks Destiny set, which is, I guess this is a giant robot of some sort. I've never actually played the game, but the stuff looks cool. So I got this from one of the Toys R Us's we visited for like $6.50, I think, which that seemed a pretty good deal. I got a second one for Rob.
Wow.
Because he likes his Destiny stuff, too.
Yes.
So yeah, that's literally the last thing I will ever purchase from a Toys R Us, because if they're not already, any that are left close on Friday.
Yep.
Sadness. We'll like talk a little bit more about Friday? That in a minute. Yeah, I assume end of the day Friday. Okay,
so one more business day.
But you know, I don't think it's really going to make a difference based on what we saw them have left. Now, I think the most we saw at a Toys R Us of any one thing by volume was the Power Rangers movie Tyrannosaurus Zords. We saw no fewer than three separate packed stations full of those stupid things.
Yeah. Wow. Followed closely by the Lionfire Fortress Sword from Super Ninja Steel.
Yeah, that stuff's going to be always before you know it. Let's see. Oh, okay. So you might remember last week I made reference to a Star Trek novel about Garrick written by Andrew J. Robinson. Well, I found a copy of that at a bookstore in Chattanooga while we were there.
Nice.
$3.
Oh, good.
I've read the book before, but I'm glad to actually like own a physical copy of it now. Also, at one of the flea market / antique malls we went to, I just randomly found this other book that I had read before. This is the Kobayashi Maru. I read this when I was a teenager. I think I got out of the library at that point. I really enjoyed it, so that was also a fun find. And, of course, I can't go to an antique mall without just buying a pile of old Star Trek figures, so I have Counselor Troy as Counselor Durango. A Dr. Bashir. Let's see what else we have here. And my first two like main cast DS9 figures, Kira and Odo.
Did they transform?
Well, on the show, Odo transforms into goo, but I don't think the toy does that unless you apply a lot of heat. In terms of stuff that's actually more on topic, well, there's a Trypticon over there somewhere off screen that Matt picked up for me at one of his Ollies, which I have not really had the motivation to open yet. He also picked up the Wave 2 Dinobots for me a little while back, so I have those now.
Awesome.
I'm not super impressed. So Snarl feels better than Sinner Twin does. They share like a basic engineering structure. So that's a little bit better, but I'm still not super thrilled with either of them. It seems like Slag and Swoop were probably the best out of the whole Dinobot set. And Slash. But, you know. Let's see. Oh, I got this for a good price off of Twitter before the trip. This is the Legends Weird Wolf with the Headmaster's accurate head sculpt and the little yellow ape face vehicle thing.
Yeah, I love that.
So I got that for about the same price that the Hasbro Weird Wolf originally cost. So I thought that was a pretty good deal. And
oh, yeah.
So I've got the alternate head sculpt now and also a spare Weird Wolf body for the event of whenever one of these ends up cracking its cockpit hinge, because that's just basically inevitable as far as I understand. Yeah. I also got Robots in Disguise Bludgeon from Matt. I really like this. This is up there with the best of the Robots in Disguise Warrior figures. So it's my understanding this is a heavy retool of Megatronus.
Yes.
I never had that figure, so I don't know like how they compare in terms of how the engineering was executed on them. But like, this is really, really nice and almost makes me want to go back and find a Megatronus at some point. I don't regret not picking up Blastwave because those colors were still damn ugly.
Yeah, Megatronus was a great figure.
And then, of course, I did find an Inferno and eventually did buy a second one on Diecast's behalf.
Thank you.
After teasing him about it relentlessly.
I was like, I answered right back. How could you have not have sold that before he left the store?
Yeah, no, I was really hoping it was going to take you like 5 or 6 minutes to actually reply to that and not be 45 seconds. That made it a little bit more difficult. But like, when I started thinking about it, I was just like, no, that actually makes the joke funnier.
It could have been bad reception. If only you could have seen us laughing through my head. I was target. Like, either he's messing with me or it was bad reception and like it didn't send until he got out of the store.
Although I could totally see Chris like checking out, getting right to the door of Walmart and be like, oh, I should probably tell Diecast that was there and just walk out the door.
Yeah, that is totally me. That's totally me. So I think that we went to a Hobby Town USA that's closing, and I bought my first Gundam kit in like 20 years. So it's the new Kapool kit from the Gundam Build Divers series, which it might be hard to tell is vaguely penguin themed.
I was gonna say that does not look like a Gundam.
Well, no, this is not specifically a Gundam, but it is a Gundam kit.
Oh, okay.
It's a Kapool. It's different.
Not every it's mobile suit is a Gundam.
But all Gundams are mobile suits.
Pretty much.
Except for the B Gundam, which is a ball.
And the Psycho Gundam, which is a mobile armor.
Yes.
You nerds.
This has been your Gundam content for the day.
Is there a quiz?
Confused.
Matt, do you want to go next? Because I know you have a comparably sized haul to mine.
Sure. So, I found a couple Mega Bloks figures. I got Chris picked me up Commander Data, and he found me Faker
from
Masters of the Universe.
Oh, nice. I want Data so bad.
I also advised him to pick up a couple of spare figures and make a custom Star Trek figure out of them.
Yes. I have a Vulcan, yes, in yellow form, in support. Yeah.
Yeah, operations.
Nice.
Okay. So, at GameStop, I found Zeo Rangers 1 and 2. So, I was able to complete my very, very flimsy Zeo Megazord.
Yeah, those Megazords are terrible.
Bandai.
If you get hot, you go like this, and it'll cool you off.
And that's all, really, I have not Transformers related, so now we'll move on to, you know, topical stuff. So tfradio.net/shirts.
That's what I got.
Guys, my two shirts came in yesterday in the mail.
So. Excellent.
Did you get the soft or the not soft?
I think I just got the standard. I'll try the soft on my next order.
Is it
the
soft? Yeah. Does it feel rough or are they still like decent?
Oh, they still feel pretty decent.
Oh, cool.
Okay, moving along, I got one Prime Master Crown landmine because I am convinced that Submarauder is a thing that does not actually exist anywhere.
So many Walmarts trying to find those.
I've searched across 5 states now.
Wow.
Maryland, West Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Georgia, and I could not find a Submarauder anywhere. Anybody who says different is just lying to me. I'm convinced of this now. Not real. It's not real. It's a trick.
How'd you pull off that live Photoshop job, Chris?
For audio listeners, I did hold up a Submarauder to the camera just to taunt Matt.
How did you get that one?
I got that one from Kroger before our trip to Charlotte. And I've never bothered to open it because that's just the kind of collector I am.
So we did hit up when met up with Hey Mickey and hit a couple of antique malls and such. And I picked up a Dino Pope set, Power Core Combiners.
Nice.
Excellent.
Did you have that before?
No, I did not.
It's just probably one of the best Power Core Combiners sets.
That and Steam Hammer, yeah.
Yeah, I had plenty of opportunity, you know, years ago to pick them up and just never did. But because of the Pope hat, I completely just went ahead and picked them up. It was decently priced. I also found a Revenge of the Fallen Lockdown.
For a really good price.
Yes. And
it was like $15 on card.
Mm-hmm. And a $15 Terra Dive, because I just like that mold, really.
That is a good mold.
And that's, what, a 2010 figure?
Yeah,
sure.
And his trident has succumbed to gold plastic syndrome.
Already. Oh, no!
Oh, wow.
I'm glad Space Cases isn't that color.
Yes.
A lot of sadness there.
Space Case was very hard to find.
I didn't have a problem.
And it was hard for me. While I was gone in the mail from Big Bad Toy Store, I got Mastermind Thunderclash.
Hmm.
And he is pretty great. I have noticed a stress mark, though, on his backpack, which causes me a little concern. I think I did it when I was trying to transform him and pressed a little too hard trying to get parts to sit together correctly.
Hmm.
So that's something to watch out for. And with that came Grand Maximus in all of his glory. I have Grand Max now.
do you need
to stick her in?
Yeah. And I picked up a couple of extra things for customization purposes if I ever build up that kind of
motivation.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Another inferno to make a headmaster cab, since since parts do exist for that. Yeah, but we saw easily 2 dozen of these things everywhere we went, and I saw
that's
more.
That's why they're not making it to the East Coast. You're buying them all before they get here.
I don't think they
On the East Coast. We never left the East Coast. And another Starscream, because he makes a fine-looking Leo Zach if you ever paint him.
And Target had Voyagers for a couple dollars off regular price this weekend. So.
And I did somebody a favor buying that one because it was the last Voyager there. So
you think you did someone a favor, but that just means that Target's not going to have any Voyagers at all for the next 3 or 4 months instead of just having a Starscream for the next 3 or 4 months.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I failed to see the difference.
Yeah, pretty much.
I also got a couple more paints from that hobby shop and a pair of sprue cutters, which the hobby shop was going.
Interesting adventure.
Yeah, the hobby shop was going out of business, so I asked if they had any sprue cutters available, and the guy kind of looked behind the counter and he went, "Yeah, I don't know whose these are, but I'll sell them to you for a buck." So I have somebody's sprue cutters. So that will come in handy for model kits in the future, and just about does it, I think.
Are you sure? I don't want to leave anything out now.
Okay, fine. If I'm getting Leo Zach, I got another Beachcomber to do Jeruker.
Oh.
Jugular.
And that should be it, yes.
Diecast?
Yeah, I got one small thing from Taobao. Been waiting for it for a while. It was on pre-order for the next run of figures. And it's the Toy World Yellow Devastator box set, which is quite a small big box. Yeah, it's wow. You know, very nicely packaged, very nicely boxed, very heavy. He's going to be a big figure, pretty sure.
Are you going to do a video of that?
I'm not sure. I might. It's so big, and you know, people have seen it 1,000 times already if they were interested in it. So, but one nice thing about living where I do, people know this, that I'm very close to Hasbro Toy Shop. So when something goes up, I get it like next day. So I got Outback, I got Cindersore, and I got another Cindersore, just because, you know, it's a good mold. And I had to get over the free shipping. So the extra Cindersore got me over the free shipping. Because I got a Spider-Man with it, too. So that was pretty much all I got this week.
Boy, that's a light week for you.
Yeah.
At least by parts count, if not, like, you know, gross tonnage.
Yeah, by tonnage. I mean, if you count the individual bots, there's 6 individual bots plus the Hasbro Toy Shop stuff.
Jason, what do you got this week?
Sure, I actually have stuff for 2 weeks in a row. Lucky me. First, I got my second ever SH Monster Arts. This is the 2002 Ooh. Godzilla from Godzilla Against Mechagodzilla. And Mechagodzilla is on pre-order, so I'll be getting him someday. One small Transformers thing. I did get the re-release of the Iron Factory Windblade, so this is in the Combiner Hunters colors.
With the extra sword, too.
Yeah, with the extra sword. And she's lovely. Simple transformation, simple little figure, but she just kind of sits on my desk and looks at me, and it makes me happy. So I like how she's kind of... Her face is kind of designed like on the Legends, like Sakamoto from the Legends comics, which I'm happy with that.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. And finally, I got, after waiting for a while and Diecast giving me tons and tons of crap for it, I got my trailer for Nemesis Prime, the Fans Hobby version.
All right.
Oh, look at no stickers.
Well, so they do include stickers that are actually done by Jeff Sr., and they look amazing.
But they're not for the toy you have.
Right. It sucks. It really sucks because these are great stickers. I love them. But if I put on this trailer, it's not going to make any freaking sense.
I think what you need to do then is buy a second trailer to house your stickers.
And I'd probably have to get a second figure to go with that trailer then, wouldn't I?
Yeah, Gunfighter 2.
Yeah.
See, you've already got this all figured out.
Right. I don't see what the problem is here, Jason.
Don't think the gears haven't been turning for a couple of days now.
Well, we're trying to grease the gears here for you, Jason. And boy, that sounds wrong when I actually say it.
Well, in true Kilby fashion, I already did buy one thing on the show, the shirt. So I'm good there. But yeah, I'll probably, if I see them on sale, it's almost a given. But I will keep an eye out for like maybe another Gunfighter 2, so we'll see. But it's for just being a trailer. I took it out of the box and just sat at my desk, looked at it like, this is awesome. So I love trailers apparently, so I'm happy with it.
Rob, I know you got some stuff for your birthday, which was just a few days ago. Happy birthday, Rob.
Oh, thank you.
Happy birthday.
Ah, thank you much. But yeah, I got a few things. Mark Alley sent me Titans Return Slug Slinger, which is a really nice figure. Thank you, Mark. I can kind of see why people are not as like big on it as, you know, as Trigger Happy, because the engineering is definitely simpler compared to that, but it is still really solid and looks really good in both modes, and just it's a really, really nice toy. I'm happy with that. Somebody, and the package did not say who, sent me Thermidor and Robots in Disguise Power Surge Optimus Prime. Mm. And Thermidor is every bit as good as everybody said. The one thing you have to watch out for, I learned, is that there are tiny little almost imperceptible channels in the torso to store the antennae in vehicle mode. If you don't know they're there, you may just put them wherever and they may get crimped. So watch out for that. But the good news is if they came slightly warped in the package, it will gradually straighten them back out, which seems to be what's happening for me. Power Surge Prime is, from what I've seen of the larger version of that design, probably the best way to get that design if you want it. I'm still convinced there was some intentional callbacks to Machine Wars Optimus Prime in that design, and it's, you know, a very simple toy, but pretty solid. I'm happy with that. Let's see, for my birthday, Angel, my brother's girlfriend, got me Star Wars The Last Jedi and Tron on Blu-ray. Since as you know, as I pointed out on the Amazon wish list, there are basically two ways people react to Tron. You saw it when you were three and you loved it, or you didn't and you fall asleep during it. There is no in between.
So I'm category two.
Since I'm one of the people who really loves that movie, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing that in the best possible quality. I went out and got myself a Mega Bloks Ninja Turtles set that showed up at Ross for $6. It's the one with Krang's android body, and that is just marvelous for $6. That is a solid figure. And you know, as I think you mentioned when you found one, Chris, the die-cast shells do not do the Ninja Turtles any favors, but at least they come with stands. And, of course, also this week I got the limited edition of New Gundam Breaker with the model kit, and haven't built the model kit yet, but that is definitely a video game. But
I assume you mean that in a positive way.
That is definitely a video game. But the best thing I got this week is my brother has gotten into bookbinding, and he made me a hand-bound notebook using Star Wars cloth that basically looks a lot like a set of Star Wars sheets we had when we were kids. And for one thing, he is really getting good at this, and for another, just, you know, the amount of time that went into that is just staggering. It's wonderful.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. So that's pretty much everything I got this week, I do believe.
Yeah, I've been hearing about that bookbinding project for some weeks now.
I can believe it. I will get a photo when I can. I want to get a good photo, and I'm not set up for a good photo because, of course, that involves unplugging my air conditioner for various electrical outlet locations in my home reasons.
Yes. John, did you get anything this week?
Nah, I ordered stuff, but it won't be here until next week. So I'll have stuff to say next week.
Well, I mean, usually when Don orders stuff, he just goes ahead and tells us what he ordered. And since Don's not here, you could just go ahead and fill the gap by telling us what you ordered.
And then he tells us about it again when he gets it.
Yes.
So let's see here. What did I get? Well, I ordered the stuff, the Wave 2 stuff that went online on Hasbro Toy Shop. So I got, Rodimus Unicronus, Rodinus, Rodicrop, whatever. Unirod, and let's not use that one. And then let's see, Outback and Cindersore. So I picked up those three for what felt like still too much money, but it was fine. So, I mean, I'll take it. I'll take the sure thing, I guess. But, man, Outback and Cindersore are effectively $10 a piece, and Rodimus, Evil Rodimus, whatever, he was 50.
Yeah,
45, 50, yeah, something like that. So add shipping on top of that, it's a spicy meatball. But anyway,
Shouldn't the shipping have been free since it was over $49?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, that my bad. But yeah, it was still not the best
feeling. Not great.
I felt dirty. But anyway,
It didn't feel that great to me either. I ordered Outback and Cindersore Monday night myself, and even using a discount code, it was still like $26 after tax and shipping, and that still felt like I'm saving gas. I have it sooner than Big Bad Toy Store. I'm saving gas. I have them tomorrow, though, so proof of concept right there.
John, I hate to correct you. And I can understand how you would have, you know, made this mistake. And spoilers, but Rodimus Unicronus is really Unicron.
What?
Yes, from the Machinima series.
You know what? That's perfect, because Diecast, now you have a Unicron, and we can drop this whole get Unicron made.
Yes, you got your Unicron made. Congratulations.
He is Unicron in the show when he evolves into the Rodimus Unicronus, that they say that he is Unicron. And then Unicron fights Megatronus. And
so apologies to our live stream audience who may have gotten spoiled by that and didn't want to hear that yet, although I can't imagine anybody cares about the show.
I said
that much.
Spoilers.
I can't
and then
feel bad.
We might as well finish out the episode real quick. Because
Jason, can you
said spoilers, or you were like,
thank you.
Nikki just said he was gonna correct me. Best producer ever.
Yeah, to be fair, I don't think he said spoiler alert. I think he just said he was gonna correct me. And his correction.
He said spoilers. He did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I mean, I can edit it out in post, but he didn't say it.
When you dropped that bombshell, I just forgot like what came right before that.
And then Optimus Primal grabbed the Matrix and became what's the
Optimal Optimus?
Optimal Optimus.
Susan Blue. Turned into a golden girl.
He became Don Beck on board.
He became Headmaster RC. Yeah. So that was the episode.
It's as if somewhere a million Dons cried out and suddenly were silenced.
So we got that Machinima episode breakdown in the show.
Joy. Right,
that's over.
And we got to hang up on Diecast, so, you know.
It's, and I didn't hang up on the whole call.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's going to make the recordings easier to deal with later.
Yeah.
Okay, so the big news this week, which we alluded to a little bit earlier, the final shutdown of U.S. Toys R Us stores happens this week. Most stores in the U.S. will be closing down on June 29th. Some may have already closed down. Me and Matt saw different time of deaths posted for different stores that we visited, but it seems like the 29th is going to be the majority shutdown date. And that's just very sad to me, almost as sad as the state of the Toys R Us stores we visited over the past weekend with all their many, many large unwanted Power Rangers toys.
You know, gee. I have not gone to one of these since the closing was announced, and I think at this point I probably wouldn't want to.
Yeah, I mean, I was even reflecting on that with Matt. Like, none of the Toys R Us's around here are ones that I associate with my childhood. Mm. Like, those are all the ones that are in the Chicago suburbs, a lot of which I think closed years ago anyway. But, like, it's not as hard for me to deal with this going to ones I more associate with, like, my own adult mobility, going to do my toy shopping on my own. You know, it's not like a nostalgic memory for me going to any of these places. And I think if I had to see the ones from my childhood shut down and be in this state, it'd be a lot more of an emotional blow to me. But like, this is more like, oh, please just go ahead and lock the doors. Don't prolong the suffering. This is enough. Yeah. It's enough. This horse is dead already. Stop hitting it.
Although, as you said, walking around Toys R Us, at least around me, within the last week, I guess, is the last time I visited one, I couldn't help but think, did Bandai kill Toys R Us? Because that is the only thing left in the stores is, like you said, like the red T-Rex.
Yeah.
They must have made a million of those things. And that other Toys R Us exclusive thing in that box that's really big, I've no idea.
The Lion Fire Fortress Zord. Yeah.
Yeah, that,
I'm
like,
you know what I'm surprised wasn't there was the big gift set version of the movie Megazord.
Yeah, my stores only had, like, even towards the end, like, one or two. They didn't have as
probably
much.
Probably the one or two they had when they first got them, too.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't as much quantity as them, so they did go around here about 2 weeks ago.
I really liked that movie, but the production design was horrible. It was
not
hideous.
Good for toys.
No.
For a variety of reasons. But what's interesting is that even as Toys R Us is shutting down this week, we've got word now that Party City, of all places, is looking to fill some of that void with new pop-up toy stores for the holiday season.
Would they call it Toy City?
Mm-hmm. I think that's actually what it says in the article, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Not sure that's a good or bad thing from his reaction.
Yeah, so
well, they can't right do now, Kitty City, so I figured Toy City would be the or next Child best. World.
Both of those were actually toy stores in the early 90s, late 80s, around there. So, but yeah, so Party City right now is looking to launch 50 of these pop-up Toy City toy stores as soon as September to try to get in some of the toy market back for the holiday season. Of course, they're not the only ones trying to capitalize on what's going on right now. There is that whole KB Toys pop-up store initiative that's supposed to be happening for the holiday season as well. And I think Party City is doing the same thing where they're looking at possibly turning these into permanent locations after the holiday season if the performance is good enough. But as with all such plans, that's going to be a major wait and see kind of thing. Yeah. What really kind of struck me, though, was in the CNBC article, one of the Party City executives was quoted as saying that, yeah, even with Toys R Us closing now, we expect to see 70 to 80% of the toy market recover in the next year or two.
Oh, good.
And I just... Well, okay, you say good just based on the surface of that, but I can't help but read that and think, like, wow, that is some extremely optimistic thinking right there.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, it's not a guarantee. That's for sure.
It's not a guarantee. I don't even think it's probable.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I have a much more pessimistic view on all this, but at the same time, I'm probably going to turn out to be right. But yeah, so like... There are entities right now that are trying to keep the toy business alive for one reason or another, to one extent or another, even as Toys R Us has its final death roll here. I also saw a vague report I haven't looked into much deeper just come up today that someone is trying to obtain the Toys R Us branding, which I guess goes to auction in the next month or so. Going to try to obtain that and actually work toward reviving the store brand in some capacity after that point. If that goes anywhere, who knows? That's, again, it's going to hinge entirely on can they secure the rights to the name and the branding in the short term rather than keep it from someone who's just like, we're going to Harmony Gold this so nobody else can ever use it again.
Yeah.
Harmony Gold is a verb now, in case you weren't aware. Actually, it has been for a long time. Okay, so with that depressing big news out of the way, and, you know, possibly a little bit of silver lining, let's get into the regular news, which is still fairly brief this week. Not quite as brief as last week. We should probably only be here for about 2 hours. So the good news is Power of the Primes Deluxe Wave 3 is hitting Walmart stores in the U.S. right now. We've got reports from Ohio, New York, and Texas that I can think of off the top of my head, where the second set of Terracons and, of course, the reship of Jazz have all been sighted in stores. So they're making their way around in the distribution system. That's a pretty wide area to shotgun across, so they should be turning up in more locations as shelf space permits. Unfortunately, in my travels recently, I've seen a lot of Wave 1 refill also taking up space at Walmart, so that's probably going to take a little bit to actually work its way through.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Although, the way the Grimlocks and Infernos kind of came rushing through, too, I mean, who knows? Walmart did take steps to clear out their Voyager backlog, but at the same time, it seems like Walmart's distribution is finally starting to get back in order and actually get new stuff pushed through, so we might be seeing this stuff sooner than we expect to on a wide scale.
Yeah, maybe hopefully I'll be pleasantly surprised this weekend or something. Who knows?
Yeah, hopefully the Wave 3 Prime Masters don't filter out into Walmart too soon, so there's still time for people who need the Wave 2 ones to actually pick some of those up.
Yeah.
Although Matt has decided that Submariner doesn't even exist anymore, so I guess there's only just the one to pick up. Yeah, so we have our first actual pictures of Special Edition Blastoff and Megatronus. We have in-box and out-of-package images of the exclusive from... these came from Robot Kingdom's Facebook. So what this is showing appears to be that you can configure Blastoff to have either the cartoon-accurate shuttle chest or the more toy-accurate combiner peg chest, which is what was used for... I only know by the Robots in Disguise named Moovor in the Baldigus set. But what we can see here too is that they've added some more of the old sticker tampographs on. So this is going to be visibly distinctive from the Unite Warriors blast off, for better or worse.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Why did they go with Megatronus? I mean, we're getting him in the Wave 3 Prime Masters.
This is a special clear plastic version.
With paint on it.
With paint on it, except for the backpack piece, which is clear now, so it looks kind of glowy.
Okay. Because you can see in the up-close pictures of Megatronus, his hands are still the clear... reddish, and his knees, but they painted the thighs gray and the arms gray.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't want the whole thing to be clear, and the whole thing can't be clear because I think there's a sprue on there that has to be nylon, so...
Yeah, you think they would have just did it the way they did Megatronus in my hands, which is gray plastic for the thighs and the arms, and then just did the back piece clear, which is a separate piece. But
well, it's the back piece has to be gang molded to something else. Like it's, you know, it's only a couple of different trees of plastic. So if the backpack's going to be clear, something else on it has to be clear also.
All right, let me
see. Here's a question though, because this uses its Unite Warrior hand foot piece. Where do you put it?
In your pocket.
Yep.
Yeah, so glad we're getting those hand foot pieces again. Those are so much fun.
That's a pretty good point though, because like there's not a socket in the hand foot piece, which that also must be gang molded to blast off if they're using that one instead of replacing it with one of the newer ones. And there's no foot pegs on that because it's a Unite Warriors mold.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's pretty much no way for Megatronus to interact, apparently.
Hang on, do I see an indentation on Blastoff's vehicle mode back, or has that always been there?
That's probably always been there. Which picture?
The package back.
Oh, yeah, there is definitely an indentation there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's one that's going to fit anything, but it just, you know.
Let's see.
It's the first thing I thought of.
Hmm. I can't get Blastoff down easily. It's on the shelf on the wall behind me. I would be surprised if they actually made any mold changes for this.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be totally against the whole concept here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do wish it had a little more paint in vehicle mode. It just seems like the nose should have more.
Well, I'm sure there will be a decent toy hacks for this, so maybe something look out for.
Yeah, the nose should have more paint, considering that the art on the front panel shows it being like black or dark brown.
Yeah. As to your question, Diecast, as to why it has a, you know, Prime Master we already had instead of one of the missing three, I'd say probably because this was planned before they knew the line was going to be 6 months shorter than they expected.
Yeah.
Quite possibly. But yeah, if people were concerned about having to get like just a straight rerun or anything like that, there are deco differences on this at least to maybe help justify getting this one in addition if you already have the Unite Warriors set.
Yeah.
Again, it's going to come down to really how you feel about the G1 sticker detail tampographs. I'm not a fan.
No.
I think they work a lot better on Slug Slinger than it looks like it's going to work there.
Yeah, I'd say you're right about that.
I really hope. And did they say we're getting away from stickers for the next...
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, because it's just terrible.
They heard us. Yeah,
I mean, from what we could interpret from what they were saying, the stickers seemed to be a specific thing they were doing because it essentially reminded them of the original toys. And since the next line is going to be like pre-G1 War for Cybertron stuff, they're not going to be aping old toy designs, so it doesn't necessarily make sense to have the stickers on there to recreate that look and feel of classic toys.
Thank goodness.
I know, right?
They'll be aping old cartoon designs instead.
Hey, if they don't have stickers on them, I mean, that's an immediate step up.
Yes.
Yes, that's true.
That is a win.
Yes. Maybe we'll see some of this in like 3 weeks.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Or didn't get the exclusives yet. Those should be hitting any day. Like, we should know about those any day.
The STCC exclusives are usually revealed like a week or so before STCC starts.
Okay.
Like, there's not a huge lead time on that.
So another week or so. Week or two.
Like, if you want advanced information, the best thing we could hope for is a Weibo leak. And at this point, we're so close, I'd rather just wait and have it be a surprise from Hasbro.
Except for Power Ranger stuff, which we already know about because Bandai just doesn't care anymore.
Yes.
Yes. Also, a nice set of Gokus while they were announcing things.
Most of the other brands will tend to reveal their exclusives farther ahead. And sometimes we'll actually pre-sale them online for like the 30 seconds before they exhaust their quantities. I'm kind of glad that's not a thing we have to deal with.
Yeah.
No, we just have to wait weeks after to be able to.
An interesting thing that Don observed this afternoon, Amazon's listings for Blastoff, Counterpunch, and Repugnus are all now producing 404 pages on Amazon.
Oh, they're canceled. Mm-hmm.
No!
They got hacked by Russians.
No, that's Rob Springer's site. in jokes nobody else understands. Anyway, I don't think the listings going off Amazon really means anything. It might point to that these are going to launch sometime fairly soon, and Hasbro is starting to pay attention to what Amazon's doing with them. Is just like, no, those aren't supposed to be up yet. Go hide those. Hide those.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense.
But they've been up for 6 months. Hide them. Hide them.
Yeah.
Oh, here. I know Matt cares so much about this. MP43 Beast Wars Masterpiece Megatron and Figure King Magazine accessories revealed. And we also have a follow-up to that with high-resolution scans from Figure King Magazine, including Megatron, the new Masterpiece Convoy, the Golden Lagoon exclusives, and some other stuff that doesn't really matter that much. So Megatron's accessories. I wrote an article on T-Formers a while back that was speculating about this, and the only one of the things that came true from my speculation is probably my favorite one, the toothbrush.
Yes. Yep.
So they actually designed Masterpiece Megatron to emulate one specific scene from late in the first season, where it's before the storm, I think, like 3 episodes to the end of the season. And the scene is Megatron sitting in his quarters brushing his dinosaur hand's teeth. But there is an animation error in that scene, and he's missing almost all of his beast mode kibble. Well, all the beast mode kibble can be removed from the Masterpiece toy so that you can have it look like that animation error scene while he's brushing his dinosaur hand's teeth.
I bet it's also makes it easier to fit into a smaller box for shipping. It's a feature!
It's the most amazingly Takara move I can think of. So the other accessories, we saw the beam effect attachment for the dinosaur hand in our first color image, actually, which was in a handout flyer from Tokyo Toy Show. It also comes with some attachment parts for Masterpiece Dinobot stand, so you can pose Megatron hoisting Dinobot in the air by his head. And it comes with a rifle, which had a few people confused. It's actually one he used in the episode Call of the Wild when they're out doing the hunt for the Maximals that turn feral. So another like very specific one episode thing. And in the magazine scans too, they actually call back to that because there's the one picture of Masterpiece Primal holding Megatron up over his head, which is from that episode. So it's not a huge assortment of accessories. There's also some option faces, but I'm actually pretty entertained with the things they did choose. And I mean, they include the toothbrush. I mean, of all the things, that's probably the one stupid accessory I wanted to see the most.
Mm. Congratulations.
The Golden Lagoon stuff is basically the same pictures we saw before. They've got like reference screenshots in there too. There's not a whole lot more interesting in the Figure King magazine scans. We do have in the next item in the show notes here the prototype pictures of Masterpiece Convoy version 3, which are like clear direct looks at that. Those were also reproduced in Figure King, but we can see them in isolation here in a little bit better quality. Still looks pretty good to me. I still think it's going to be really expensive when we finally get the price.
Yep.
I think the Dengeki Hobby page actually did point to a release in 2019 for this. So yeah. I would estimate we're probably a year off from the release of this at this point.
I think this is probably going to be MP45, not 50, as we were speculating earlier.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Yeah, Masterpiece. This isn't fans' toys. They don't, you know, preview stuff 8 years ahead of when they're actually expecting their release date. Generally, when we see a Masterpiece, and like especially, you know, prototype pictures, it's because it's coming up really soon.
Yeah, I would think February-ish for this, but that would just be my guess.
They sometimes do large Masterpieces at that point in the year.
Yeah.
Next year would be the 35th anniversary, and what better time to release an Optimus Prime?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it's sometime between January and March, if I had to guess. There's a meme going around Japanese Twitter, though, that is just great because it's MP1 with a picture from Transformers the movie, you know, high detail, very glossy. It's MP10 with a slightly less, you know, fancy, glossy looking picture from the movie, and then this one next to just a random cell from any old episode.
Nice.
And it kind of fits, and just in terms of just the head sculpts in particular, which is just weird.
So it'd be kind of like getting a master grade RX-78 based on that one Gundam cell.
Yes. Oh man, I would love that.
It's basically what they're going for, mm-hmm. which again references nobody but us will understand. Mm-hmm. By nobody but us, I mean the two of us.
Yes, and because
podcast host.
The worst part is most people are going to think of that one Gundam cell where, you know, it's the head is just sunken into the chest, not the one that is entirely cubist.
I love that one.
I know.
I'm interested to see. How much this is going to be and how much the other Optimus Prime in this design aesthetic is going to be. Is that Mastermade that's doing this? Or
Magic Square.
Because that'll be pretty interesting to see.
What's going to be, well, okay, so the deciding thing between those is if Magic Squares is going to have a trailer by default. Which I would not be surprised if it omits that. I can't remember if that was in the prototype photos for that or not off the top of my head.
I haven't seen it. Yeah.
We know already this has a trailer associated with it, which
yeah.
That and the pricing trend for Masterpieces lately is making me think this is going to push higher than our current like top tier level.
That's scary.
Hopefully not. That's just what my instincts are telling me at this point. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be costly one way or another. And yeah, Magic Square might beat it out in price, but there is also kind of a gulf in how they're interpreting the style between them. So I don't really want to say one could be an adequate substitute for another, because if it's not checking just the right boxes, it might as well not be there.
Right. I just have there's a couple gaps that I'm not really liking on this, at mm-hmm. least in prototype stage. And then it looks like up, if you look at the top of the window in robot mode, it looks like the top of his chest is actually sunken down. Like the windows stick up further than the top of his chest, which kind of, I don't know. I'm going to have to see it in person, maybe see some more color shots, but there's designs of this that I'm worried about.
Yeah, and I mean, it is going to, it's going to play better in color, because when we see these gray prototypes, all of, every detail aspect of it is greatly exaggerated for good and bad. The color often smooths things out significantly and really improves the appearance. Although sometimes, like, we see prototypes for stuff in the gray like this, and it's like, oh, that looks amazing, look at all the detail on that, and then the color one comes out, it's just like, what happened? Hopefully that doesn't happen with this, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I, going for a 2019 release, I can't think of like a well-placed toy show that color picture or color prototype could debut at before like Winter Wonder Fest, which would be January. And that's, I think that's way too far out. Mm-hmm. So this might be something that we see first in Figure King in like October or something in color.
I could see that.
Unless Rob can somehow pull out of the air a toy show of some note that'll be happening sometime this fall.
Not off the top of my head.
There's just so many, you can't really keep an active list of them in your head. It's just, it's impossible. It's literally impossible.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move into some third-party stuff. I hope you like Red Alert. So, Magic Square unofficial legend scale Sideswipe and Red Alert shown with new color photos. We'd previously seen a gray prototype of the Lamborghini body. And now we've got color pictures of it both as Sideswipe and Red Alert. Weird thing here, and maybe you can detect this on your own, there's no fire department markings on Red Alert.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like, there's no Tampa graphing of any kind. It's just like the color area paint operations. I don't know if that's like an intentional choice, or this is a non-finalized deco, or what's going on here. It's kind of weird, because it's not even cartoon accurate that way, because the cartoon design had blobby fire department logos and stuff. Also, it just, the robot mode kind of doesn't look good to me.
They look okay. I mean, they're legend scale, so...
Yeah, there's just something about this that is sitting wrong with me. The face sculpts aren't helping either. I mean, let's be honest there.
I think the face sculpts on this are better than the Bad Cube ones that just got released.
Does Bad Cube do legend scale stuff?
No, they weren't legend scale. They're the actual, like, masterpiece-sized, but...
Oh.
I didn't like the face sculpts on them.
Well, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
If you think a legend scale is doing a face sculpt better than a masterpiece scale.
Yeah, I think for legend scale, these faces are actually pretty good.
So, yeah, that's going to be a thing coming up at some point in the future. I don't think there's any release information associated with these yet. Following up from that, though, we have from Iron Factory, another in their Racing Brothers series, which they're calling this one Annihilator, because apparently they couldn't think of any other word at all that starts with A. Like, you know, alarm.
Yeah.
So this is a Red Alert based on the stylized Sideswipe they did before, which people seem kind of like... love or hate about. I don't see a lot in between that.
Yeah, I don't care for this design.
Oh, I like this one.
Yeah, I don't really mind the design
I'm
that much.
I'm okay with it.
I actually like it better than the Magic Square one.
Yes. Yeah, no, I absolutely like it better than that. And when I saw this earlier today, I was like, oh, I might actually throw some money at that one.
And I think they actually remembered the fire department markings on this one, too. Yes. So that helps a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I actually kind of like this, too, though, because, like, assuming the Magic Square ones are not sold as a two-pack, you could conceivably get, like, a Sideswipe from them and get a Red Alert from Iron Factory and actually, you know, have the two characters, but have them also be a little bit distinct from each other. Hmm. Options, you know.
Yes.
Of course, the face sculpt styles will clash horribly, but if you're okay with that, I mean... Diecast, what do you think of the face sculpt on this one?
It's okay.
We need Eric for a forearm ruling.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't a movie Optimus. I'm not sure he's qualified to judge forearms aside from that.
That's a good point. We're giving him way too much credit. We shouldn't do that.
His face is hidden in a lot of these shots.
Do what?
His face is hidden in a lot of these shots.
Oh, I'm pretty sure there's some clear pictures of the face in here somewhere.
There's like one or two. It's okay. It's...
Yeah, there's just a lot of... There's a lot of pictures.
Yeah, only 20.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a lot for promo photography. I think it's the very same face sculpt as the Sideswipe has, though. That would be not inappropriate. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like this. I probably won't buy one, but like between the two options for Red Alerts we've been presented with this week, I'm definitely feeling this one a lot more. Of course, it kind of makes sense. Iron Factory is a lot more established than Magic Square.
Yeah.
Has Magic Square actually managed to release anything yet?
I think their Grapple just came out.
Okay.
Which could is be. Also Legend scale. But
yeah.
I could be mistaken. There's so many companies out there now that it could have been someone else's. I'm pretty sure it's Magic Square, though.
Yeah, most of Magic Square stuff is Legend scale. I think that one Optimus is the only thing they're doing currently that's actually bigger. Which seems weird, but whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm expecting third-party companies to, like, make some kind of logical business sense here. I mean, what's wrong with me?
The other thing is I never heard of Magic Square, and, you know, they've never really produced anything. And it's definitely a shrinking market, I would say, third-party right now, instead of the growing market that we had. So it's kind of weird to see another new third-party company right now.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, maybe they don't have the best timing with revealing their masterpiece like Optimus, considering version 3.
Yeah,
or maybe it is the right timing.
Yeah, they probably didn't have a choice. It's like, shoot. Well, I guess we've already put money in. We got to do something, so.
Yeah.
Let's see. So the last thing in our news block for this week is we have out-of-box images of the Star Wars powered by Transformers Millennium Falcon set.
Doesn't look bad.
No. I still think if I was going to get one of these, it would probably be the Darth Vader TIE Fighter, but...
yeah.
Especially compared to the Hasbro engineered originals, these look pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sure. the ship mode looks great.
The ship mode looks good.
It does. And those robots certainly do exist.
Yeah.
And again, they transform better. Into two robots.
Yeah. As I was going to say, they do at least look better than the original versions, but...
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ship mode does look really good. They did a lot of deco work on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like the face sculpt for the Chewbacca side of the figure, but...
Yeah.
The Han side's just a little... Eh. I mean, human faces and robots don't always...
Yeah, it's not doing much to really call out being Han Solo.
Right, yeah.
That's kind of the problem I'm having with it.
Mm-hmm.
It more just looks like, you know, generic robot face loosely based on, like, an aviator helmet.
Yeah.
I'm not really seeing a lot of Han Solo in that.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much you can do or need to do out of, you know, robot guy who turns into the Millennium Falcon and is not Chewbacca, but...
Who could it be?
Yes.
Lando Calrissian?
Well, Rey. Actually, I mean, accurate.
Or Rey, yeah.
Ooh. Oh, man, now I kind of wish they had done this with, like, Lando and Rey instead. That would have been awesome.
Or Chewbacca and a Porg.
Yes.
Yes, I want my Porg head half Millennium Falcon robot now.
Yeah, that would have been more fun.
It transforms into the cockpit. That would be perfect.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Little Porg mini con part on this. Yeah, yes. Perfect.
All right, this worst toy ever. Didn't do the right thing.
Exactly, I know. What, were they even trying?
No, obviously not.
Well, speaking of trying, and this is the worst segue I can imagine, Power of the Primes Predaking is available for pre-order on Amazon. And you can get that and help out the show by going to tfradio.net/predaking. Is it still at $159.99?
Yes. It is, yes.
Nice.
Darn, I was hoping there'd be a discount.
Well, now Amazon does have a pre-order price guarantee, so if there is if it does go down in price anytime before it actually comes out, which probably unlikely, but after the fact it probably will at some point, you will get that lowest price even if it goes back up before the actual release date. So throw some money there if you can.
Yeah. Every little bit you can do helps the show out. We get a little bit back from every purchase you make through our short links. It doesn't cost you any more money, although, I mean, I think you'd still be okay helping the show out even if it did cost you a little bit more money. Am I right?
Yeah.
Also, you know, you can buy shirts to throw money at us. That also helps out the show.
TFRadio.net/shirts.
Yes, TFRadio.net/shirts.
And last time I checked, Thermidor is still at or below retail if anybody is still looking for that.
Yeah, it's at about $15, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's there. And of course, now that Chris has Bludgeon and said such great things about it, I go to look because he's on my wish list, TFRadio.net/Jason list. And he's back up to almost $20. And I was like, oh, now that I know it's actually a good toy.
Yeah. As I've been following Thermidor and Bludgeon's progress on Amazon, I never saw it get below 18.
I think it briefly dipped down, but not much, like 1789 or something. But yeah.
Yeah, it stayed within that range pretty thoroughly. But since Jason has just plugged his wish list, some of the rest of us also have Amazon wish lists. Mine is at tfradio.net/Chris list. Diecast, did you ever get one set up for you?
Was I supposed to set it up or Brian? Because if
it's... Well, I think it was just that Brian would short link one you already have. Like, that's what the rest of us have set up.
Yeah, so it should be tfradio.net/diecast list.
Well, hopefully.
I'll try it.
Or Brian will make that redirect to Lemon Party or Goatsy or something.
Probably. It goes to a 404, so you are wrong, sir.
Excellent! Rob, how about yours?
Mine is tfradio.net/claylist.
That's got a lot of activity around your birthday, too.
Yeah. And Don's is tfradio.net/massyattack.
And Matt does not have an Amazon wish list, to my knowledge.
Nope.
And probably not. John doesn't either. John, do you have a wish list?
Nah.
He doesn't have any wishes.
Yeah, John, if you had a wish, what would it be?
Street Fighter.
Let's see here. That pizza didn't make you fat.
Oh, yeah.
That's
how about
a good
it?
Wish.
See?
Yeah.
That's
I'm not asking
wish.
For world peace. I'm just asking for zero calorie pizza. That's all.
Yeah. See, I was hoping that you would catch on to the theme of the segment here and say that your wish was for people to shop on Amazon using tfradio.net/Amazon, where a small portion of their purchases goes back to keep the show running and the lights turned on and Brian Kilby's marriage from ending in the flames and misery. But
maybe,
you know, pizza is also good.
Yeah. I mean, pizza's but pizza, Chris.
tfradio.net/Amazon. Bookmark it. Okay, Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, first up, we have got details on the Transformers episode of The Toys That Made Us, and also an announcement for the date that the subject reveal will occur for Season 3, which will be, incidentally, at SDCC. We've also got a report on the 3H BotCon panel at Pete's Robot Convention 2018. And also, they're just posted today, there is a rumor that we're going to get reissues of Masterpiece Ratchet and Ironhide in December of this year, which, if that's true, I kind of think supports a release of Optimus Prime version 3 early in the year, just to get as many, you know, 1984 people back in circulation as possible for the 35th anniversary.
Yeah, because aren't we supposed to be also getting the anime colors version of Sideswipe at some point?
I think so, yeah.
We already have that.
Okay,
there you go.
Was it anime
Red
Alert?
I'm not sure if our audience is aware of this, but I don't really pay attention to Masterpiece stuff that much.
Same.
Right there.
Oh, there's your proof. See, now we have to believe what you say, but you can't believe Chris whether or not Submarauder exists.
Because I haven't seen it with my own eyes, so yeah.
I haven't seen anime color Sideswipe with my own eyes either.
Plot thickens.
Stalemate. But the animation colors, well, they're not, they're the plus version, which is actually Toy Colors, Megatron and Shockwave are coming out as exclusives toward the end of the year too, so
I'd like that to would have also that Shockwave, go to Rob but City. Not for the price they're asking for it.
No.
No, wasn't that like twice as much as Shockwave came out for originally?
Almost.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. I'd kind of like to have that Megatron, except for the part where I'd have to have that Megatron. Because, like, I'm really tickled that they did a toy version of it with a new, you know, toy-based face. I wish they'd replaced all of the option faces with toy faces in the same styles.
Yeah, if they turn it into, like, Browning instead, then, you know, that might be something to look into, but...
Well, again, I'm entertained that it exists, but, like... From all indications I've ever seen, I don't actually want to ever transform that thing.
Yeah.
I didn't have that much of a problem with it.
But how much time did it take you?
Not bad. Follow the directions. They're pretty straightforward.
Yes, but how much time did it take you?
I didn't time myself, but it wasn't bad.
If it took more than like 4 minutes to transform it from one mode to the other, that's too much of an investment for me.
Jeez.
That's why I won't transform most of the Transformers I own from before, like, 2013. Like, I like these toys, but at the same time, I've got to, like, block out space to sit and transform more than a couple of them.
I transformed two of them during the show.
Lockdown's not that complicated to transform, and Teradive is just, like, a joy on basically every level, except for apparently that it has brown plastic syndrome in its poor little spear. But other than that... But man, there's some stuff from that era that is just not fun to deal with on a regular basis. And Megatron's transformation looks a little bit more complicated than I'm willing to invest in. Okay, so our Don for this week is Diecast. I'm sure Don is thrilled with that comparison.
Oh, yeah.
So Diecast, what's on the network this week?
Oh, there goes my money. 040 hashtags are pound signs. Headmaster Don joins Jason and Diecast to talk about some of their more recent pre-orders since our last episode, including Predaking, the redeco of Masterpiece Megatron, and a re-release of a fantastic third-party Jazz figure. And while Wave 2 of Power of the Primes might be MIA, you can pre-order Wave 3 to give you that perfect one-armed Abominus. Oh, and Jason offers to shill for third-party company. All that and more in this week's on There Goes My Money. We also have RPG Lessons Learned, episode number 60, Jazz Hands, Savage Worlds. In their latest ETU session, Dustin, Brian, and Mike deal with the consequences of their actions through some inspired roleplay. How was your weekend, episode 36? Setting goals. On this episode, Wendy and Brian finally talk about a topic they've been noodling on for nearly a year, setting goals. Brian will throw to Diecast.
So, Diecast, Jason, what does Diecast have on his YouTube channel this week?
On his YouTube channel? Good question.
Yeah, you know, at tfradio.net/reviews.
I bring it up here on the internet last week.
Yeah, there's I
Jason
still
was
see
entirely
videos.
Unprepared for this throw.
Yes, I still see videos of Wave 3 Prime Masters.
You know, saying is that Diecast didn't actually do anything this past week.
Pretty much.
Way to go, Diecast.
I did watch Power of the Primes, the Machinima series, and I was going to do my first review on that, but I snuck it into our.
Go ahead, Chris.
All right. So that's been Radio Free Cybertron episode 577. You can find the show notes for this episode and the episode itself at tfradio.net/577. Don't forget to use our voicemail line to leave us messages or to submit questions for It's a Dawn Deal when that comes back in the very near future. You can also send us text messages at that. And all of that happens at 931-99-GOBOT, which is 931-994-6268. John, how's this whole like intellectual property minicast thing with Bill Ray going?
Working on it. We're gonna bang out a couple though in our recording session.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah,
that sounds good. So, of course, you can find the show on Twitter at TF Radio or on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. Brian maintains an Instagram for the show at TF Podcast. Rob Springer can be found at zonebase.org or at Robo Rob Springer. John, where are you?
I'm that John D. Everywhere.
Everywhere you want to be.
Which I'm is everywhere except Instagram because I'm an old fart.
Well, I was going to say where I was on Twitter, but then John talked over me, so the moment is lost. Melvar is on Twitter at Melvar, M-E-L-L-L-V-A-R-R. Don't follow him. He doesn't like that. Diecast, where can we find you?
At C-R-T-X-V-E-R. I'm sorry. I messed it
it's
up.
It's on the screen. Don't worry.
I'm on Twitter at Diecast2, on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast, and also on YouTube at RFC Reviews or at tfradio.net/reviews.
Rob?
I am on Twitter at Figure Reviewers and Flail Throughs, also on YouTube at Flail Throughs, where this week we are beginning our playthrough of New Gundam Breaker, which... Just to answer your question from the beginning of the show, I have had three separate people, counting my brother and me, say the more I play of this game, the less I like it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's they tried to make this like multiplayer thing out of it as opposed to just making another Gundam Breaker game, and it didn't quite work. On top of which, luckily, they just released a set of bug fixes that they intend to make throughout the next couple of months, and it's, you know, a mile long, so it's probably going to be, you know, not quite the game I wanted, but less of a disaster by the time that they're done with all that.
So in the event someone would like to see you play like a specific mobile suit or something, I don't know, how might they go about that?
They would go to patreon.com/flailthroughs, where a $2 donation will get you a specific mobile suit, and I will do my best to grind parts for it, because this game has made that incredibly difficult. I'll put it this way. Each individual part, if you want to buy them, costs 50 to 100 thousand points. They gifted you with 100,000 points in exchange for the day one patch. For all that I've played so far, my current point total with having spent nothing is about 150,000. So yeah, they have an awful lot of work to do on this game. The other project I do want to mention, though, is that the video project I have been working on for the last month or so has finally started to go live at Toy News International. It is a three-part retrospective on Fisher-Price's Little People toy line, and the first part is up now at toynewseye.com.
Excellent. So, Jason, where are all the places we can find you on the internet?
Well, and I'm prepared now. All the places. How about just one
place? I'm stalling
place?
For you.
Thank you. How about all the place, or one, the one place, which is jasonskirk.com. Get my social media, my podcasts, the my wish list. But also, since I know it's come up on the show, we are this week recording the tunnel scene of Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory this week. So it's coming.
No.
Those of you who've been waiting, it's coming.
Oh, no. Brian Kilby, who is not here this week, can be found at bkilby on Twitter, and also probably the Happy Daily or something. I don't really know. BrianKilby.com is probably the thing that works still too. Whatever. I don't really care about Kilby's social media presence. And you can follow Headmaster Don on Twitter at HMRC the number 4 EVR. That's HMRC the number 4 EVR. Guess what that all stands for? Go and, you know, send him condolences for all the cat attacks. Or something, I don't know. Tell him how much you like Miracle Whip. I'm sure it'd make his day. Yeah, I know, right? He was commenting yesterday on Twitter how Massey was just like enthralled by this bowl of grapes he had. Well, the natural observation to be made there is that Massey probably has never seen natural food, given that most of Don's diet consists of Velveeta, Miracle Whip, and SpaghettiOs. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that'll about do it for us this week. Thanks for watching the show. All, 90 minutes of it now. But for an XB show, that's pretty snappy.
It really is.
Yeah. See you next time. Hopefully Kilby will be here and I won't.
Bye, everyone.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.
And you are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. This is your host, Brian Kilby. A little late, we've missed a week, and a lot of stuff has happened. We've had a new Transformers cartoon, Transformers Cybertron. Transformers Cybertron is the third cartoon in the series of Transformers Armada and Transformers Energon. So this is the first time we've had three series tied together in such a way in America, and it's been pretty cool, even though the series itself kind of sucks. A few other things have happened since last week. BotCon's been held in Texas, Kentucky, Rhode Island, Ohio, and California. We've had a Transformers movie, which is kind of cool that, never really thought that would happen, but, we've had a Transformers movie, and we've had a Transformers sequel since last week because, well, the first Transformers movie made tons and tons of money. And also, we've had another cartoon. It's amazing. Transformers Animated. Yeah, and, that's kind of a funny name, I know, but I think if we give it a shot, it'll prove to be pretty good. Also, what else have we had? We've had basically a full-scale G1 revival in this subline called Transformers Classics, and it's been followed up in the Transformers Universe line, which is personally a favorite of mine, has been for the last couple of years since it started. We've also, in the fandom, we've had a whole slew, and a slew is a very southern word, I know, but I am southern, a slew of Transformers internet radio shows. They're calling themselves podcasts, I don't know why, but we welcome our Transformers internet radio show brethren. Let's see here. There have been lots of fans that have come in since last week because of the success of Transformers Cybertron and, of course, Transformers the movie. Not to be confused with our favorite 1986 Transformers movie and its new sequel in Transformers Animated. But lots of new fans, lots of new stuff going on here at Radio Free Cybertron. We're glad to be back. It's been a long week, but we are here for you.